This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
One thing that we must do tomorrow on Evan and Tiki, I'm calling my shot on this, is that I'm going to try again to order pizza. Okay, but this time it's just for us. And there's a reason I'm ordering pizza on a Friday. You may say, well, why? And I think it's an experiment that is very important as we get set for this weekend in sports. I think we need to eat and try and critique Detroit pizza. Knicks are about to play the Pistons.
Where are you getting that from?
Believe it or not, there is a Detroit pizza place in New York City.
What?
Yes.
I've heard about this.
Yeah. I passed by it
is
when
it
I...
successful?
I mean, it still exists.
I think it's been around for years. Actually, I have heard of this. Yeah.
So I'm going to order it. Have you ever had Detroit pizza?
I have not.
Have you, Sean?
Unless deep dish?
Yeah. So no, it's like medium dish.
What is medium dish?
We're going to find out tomorrow, Tiki.
That was the perfect answer because I don't know either.
It's not as deep as a Chicago pie, but I've seen it. I've seen the pictures.
Now, I want to make something very clear.
Oh, Chicago. All right, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I won't get into it.
You don't like Chicago?
No, it's just a deep. People think Chicago pie is different than it actually is, but never mind.
Okay. I just want to clarify with Tommy that if Tiki likes Detroit pizza, or if I like Detroit pizza, or even if you like Detroit pizza, it is not indicative of how we feel about the Knicks-Pistons series. It is related, sure, because it's Detroit, but don't be like, all, oh, no, you like it. Like, it doesn't matter. We just want to see what it's like before we engage in a best-of-seven series with a team from Detroit.
I'm cool with that. I love pizza, so I don't draw any lines.
All right, good.
Little lazy. I thought maybe all of us could open up the hood of our cars before we come in tomorrow and change our pistons. See who does the best.
Nice.
I didn't even know what a piston
I
is.
I don't have any in my car because it's electric, and I can't open my hood.
See? That's why we're not doing
it. Okay, all right, fair enough.
And also because I still have no idea what a piston is. Here's Sean Cinco.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. By Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. And by New Jersey Lottery. Anything can happen in Jersey. So Evan T is going into the break. Very big night. Yankees in Tampa at George M. Steinbrenner Field. The Mets and Cardinals, of which the rest of the show besides me will be in attendance. But the biggest of them all happens at Madison Square Garden tonight. It is Sam Rosen's final game, colon, in New York Rangers.
That is right. Congratulations to Sam on a wonderful career, and the Rangers deeply apologize for sucking and forcing you to have to watch that all year.
So before I get to the Cinco, though, I did think of something as I was coming in here. I wonder how many people had tickets to tonight going, why would I go to a game that means nothing when I could watch Sam Rosen call a game? I wonder if it leads to an emptier arena.
I think it's mostly going.
That's interesting.
It's mostly going to be empty because they're terrible.
But think about it though. If you were, why wouldn't I want to hear Sam?
I'm going to look at the secondary market as you start the Cinco because it's actually an interesting question. I'd be curious to see if you're right that may lead to the ticket basically being like the coldest ticket imaginable.
All right, so let's go down memory road. I'm here to give you, in my opinion, my five most memorable Sam Rosen calls. Here we go.
Here we go.
Number five.
Tetisov, it went off the leg, stays in the Devil's zone. Matteau goes for the puck. Matteau around the net. Matteau puts it. Score! Score! The Rangers win! The Rangers win! They're going to the finals! The Rangers win!
It's so funny, bro.
I know.
It's a great call. It's a wonderful call. No one remembers it.
Because of Howie Rosen.
Because they think of Howie.
Yeah.
Matteau. So how many people even remember what Sam Rosen's call was, which is why it's not number five instead of number one or two.
It's a great call, though, too. I'm hearing it. I'm like, wow, that's awesome. But you're right. It completely gets blown away by the famous Matteau.
All right, here we go.
Number four.
Linden is pressured. Gretzky in front. Saved by Flaherty. The rebound. Score! It's taken a long time, but Wayne Gretzky is finally the all-time leading professional goal scorer.
Number 894 that was just passed by Alex Ovechkin.
Does that call mean anything to you?
No, but it's a very cool, memorable NHL moment that we had. It's not that it means anything to me, but I thought Sam handled the call well. Again, it's a memorable call.
No, of course. And I think for hockey it is. Did you care?
And it happened versus the Islanders.
Did you care about it?
Did I care about it? Yeah.
Real time, did you care?
Yes, I did, because I'm at a young age. I'm 12 years old, and Wayne Gretzky's playing for the freaking Rangers.
Well, you know what I'm curious about?
And that's his last goal of his career, by the way.
And No, absolutely. And you're young. His last goal of his career, and then obviously Ovechkin breaks it against the Islanders. The great unity of it.
Right.
When I say Wayne Gretzky as a Ranger, what do you think of?
Missed opportunity when they made the conference final, couldn't get over the hump and get to a cup with him.
That's what I was going to say. Like, I don't think of him as this
people
amazing
forget
Ranger.
That post-94 team that went to the conference final.
No. That's kind of what I'm at now. Like, he ended his career here. He was still really good, but it's like,
But still, Wayne Gretzky was a freaking Ranger and scored number 894. Right. It counts. Right. Here we go.
Number three.
Pavel Bure getting set. Everyone on their feet at Pacific Coliseum. Here comes Bure against Mike Richter.
The Pavel Bure penalty shot in Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final in Vancouver, saved by Richter, are three words that live in infamy after that call.
Can I ask a dumb question?
Sure.
Because 1994 was a long time ago.
All right, what happened after?
Well, they won the game.
Okay.
And they won the series. They almost blew a 3-1 lead.
So why is it infamy?
Is infamy a bad word?
Yes. Well, yeah, he did say infamy.
I don't know what infamy means.
Like, it's bad.
It dawned on me, I don't know what that means.
Infamous.
Yeah, well, then it lived in infamy.
Hey, do you remember what FDR said about Pearl Harbor?
Yes.
Yeah, it was infamous.
Okay.
Infamous. All right. A day that will live in infamy.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. I don't know what infamy means. My bad.
Intellectually bankrupt.
I was confused. That was a win, wasn't it?
Was that a radio call or TV call?
I believe it was TV.
Okay, because Sam was doing the TV call of the Eastern Conference Finals, which we're not used to anymore, because the local
yes,
TV
they
cuts
had it
off.
All the way through. Yeah.
So did the local TV go all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals in 94?
Yeah, we'll get to the end.
You're right. No, but this is like...
Because Marv was doing radio.
Radio. You know what? This whole thing blows my mind, because you're right. It's obvious. But I can't
no, there was
that.
National for everybody else, but they allowed local to carry through.
Right. I'm sorry. Continue your list. I need to spoil it.
I think
it.
History would have worked.
Yeah.
Live in history.
Look, Tiki, I don't know definitions of things. Here we go.
Number two.
Up the middle, Sabanajan. He goes to the net. He scores! The Rangers win! Mika Sabanajan with 5 goals! Do you believe it?
That voice crack is why this is so memorable.
That's
this
a great
is
call, yeah.
One of the last games played before hockey shuts down in the pandemic. And Mika Zibanejad scores March 5th, 2020, 5 goals in that overtime winner, and Sam Rosen couldn't believe it. The voice cracks and everything.
Wow, that's high on the list for a goal that, like...
Yeah, it's more modern, I understand that, but I think the way he was with that
it's
goal...
It's a great
call. You could hear in his voice he was so stunned at
no,
the night.
It actually sounds like a call that could have been in the Stanley Cup Finals. Yeah. He was that excited.
Absolutely, and last but not least...
Number one.
Here it is!
Well, it better last a lifetime. You got another one coming. You don't have
that.
Another one coming.
You hear that, man. You get welled up in tears. That's just,
yeah.
That's so good.
You're so emotional. You didn't hear my dig at the Rangers.
I know. Because I'm ignoring. It's not a time for that. Sam Rosen. We love you. Farewell, Chris Kreider. Probably his last game tonight, too.
I mean.
What about Artemi Panarin? Are you going to get rid of him, or are you going to keep him around after what happened? Or are you not going to comment about that?
We'll comment when more.
Commenting.
Oh, no. Well, I can comment.
When more details come out, we'll comment.
Right? Okay. No, I know. I understand. I only read the Athletic article, but basically there was a settled lawsuit with him and a woman and Madison Square Garden.
Yep.
But would you like him back on the team?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
I would say this. If
you need more information,
if the reports are completely accurate, I'm good with saying goodbye to Artemi Panarin. He's not who I thought he was.
Sam Rosen had a wonderful career. He is a legend. Congratulations. Yeah, you know, as you play that final clip, it is amazing to put in your head, and this is what was going through my head as you were playing it.
That was the last one?
Well, no, that we had local TV for Stanley Cup final. Like, that doesn't exist anymore. Now, Ranger fans and Islander fans were not a part of this, but the Devils are about to begin their first round against the Carolina Hurricanes.
Sunday, 3 o'clock, game one, for anybody who didn't see that schedule.
Yes, Sunday, 3 o'clock. Is that when it starts?
Yep, Easter Sunday, 3 o'clock.
I don't know if I love that, but okay. They cut it off after the second round, if I'm not mistaken.
No, the first round.
It's only the first round.
So you get the local broadcast
now
the first
round. I'm second-guessing myself, but I'm pretty sure because I've lived this with the Rangers. That's it. You get one round, then you're out. Then you go
it's
to
one
the,
round, and then you're done.
Because that's the
I feel like we talked about this last year.
Yeah, Turner and Disney split those
and
rounds.
And the NBA has the same thing where you'll get the MSG broadcast, Knick fans, in the opening round for the non-ABC games. I think that's the way it's specified. And then they cut it off. But yeah, back in 1994, you had Sam through the entire run. That's crazy.
Crazy. Goodbye, Sam Rosen. We love you.
Goodbye, Sam Rosen. Hell of a career. Congratulations.
By the way, Evan, we have a show issue here.
Go ahead.
You love to plan. You love to look ahead. You love to look at the schedule.
Yeah.
You didn't look at the religious schedule. You're ordering pizza tomorrow on Good Friday, a day where most Catholics order pizza because they can't eat meat. So I would say order ahead, call tonight, and make sure we could get it. It's a big pizza day.
Oh, it is.
Because it's Good Friday. Obviously, Easter's
That's
on Sunday.
Point.
Can't eat meat. So most Catholics, if not the majority, they order, they got to order pizza. So,
hey, Tommy.
You stepped into this one.
I appreciate that. Can you do me a quick favor?
I'm out of favors.
Go order the pizza.
Can you go order the Detroit pizza? I'll pay for it, obviously, but
can
you take care of that?
Can we walk to it? Is it that close here?
I don't think we go walk
to it.
I can
send one of our flunkies.
Can I interrupt here? I kind of think it's the perfect day to order Detroit-style pizza because everybody in New York's going to be ordering New York-style pizza.
That's true. Friday. And we're doing it for lunch. That's more of a dinner thing.
Well, if it's walkable, it doesn't matter because we can just go in there and get it, right?
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, it's walkable for you, Tiki. I don't think it's walkable for me and Sean and Tommy. Yeah, it's like a mile and a half. Yeah. You can do it.
We're schlumped that bad.
Have you ever had Detroit pizza, Tommy?
I have not. I've never had Chicago or Detroit style that I'm aware of.
I've had Chicago, and I really like it. And I don't know if this is the point you were getting at. I find Chicago to just not be pizza. Like, it's a different meal. It's really good.
Right.
I like it. I wouldn't call it pizza. I'd call it, like, cheese sauce.
Very interesting. It's like focaccia bread almost.
It's just not pizza. Yeah, it's not. It's not the traditional. It's not what you on the East Coast figure is pizza, especially New York, or it's not even like close to Papa John's or.
Oh, it's nothing like it's
Little Caesars or
it's nothing like pizza.
No,
and it's good. Like I'm not ripping it. Now, what do I prefer? I think it's like comparing a peanut butter and jelly sandwich versus a hot dog. Like I like both. If you're asking me to pick one, I'll pick one. I will say New York pizza. But I think Chicago pizza is just a completely different meal.
I mean, I'm looking at a picture of Detroit-style pizza. It looks like Sicilian, just a little thinner. It's not a grandma's. It's not that thin, but it's not thick enough to be Sicilian.
I never even knew it was identified as a type.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to like it because I like Sicilian.
Yeah, I think it's the third most popular pizza. You got your New York pizza. Yeah, you got your Chicago deep dish pizza. And then you got the I don't know if any other town's literally known for their specific kind of pizza. If I'm wrong, certainly let me know.
It looks good. You better get pepperoni.
Okay. Is that what you'd like?
Definitely.
All right.
Can't mean, but we serve this in New York. I just don't think we call it Detroit style, quite frankly.
No, it is called Detroit style.
No. My point is that when you go to a pizzeria around here, I don't know if we call it Detroit style. We just have it there. Does that make sense?
So you're saying like if I went into a local pizzeria, it would be there, but it would be labeled something else?
Exactly.
Okay.
Or just wouldn't be labeled at all, because I've seen this pizza.
Well, we'll find out. We're going to test it out tomorrow. We'll also talk to CP, the franchise. We'll get you set for Knicks Pistons. I did do some research about New York versus Detroit, because I was fascinated. How many times has a local team faced a Detroit team in the postseason? I have the answer for every team in our town. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
The New York Football Giants. Guys, want to guess? How many times they played the Detroit Lions in the postseason?
None.
One time.
When was that?
1935 NFL championship game.
Wow. Oh, that was before. The game wasn't even the game then.
I mean, it was the game. Well, don't be being disrespectful, Natty.
No, I mean, I'm listening to this podcast. Nah, it's the history of the NFL.
It wasn't. No, I agree with you, actually. the Jets, obviously, never. The Mets, never. Almost 2006.
I think the
AAFL. The All-American Football League.
AAFC.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. You're right. I think it was, I forget, actually.
Right. I think it was
the
AAFC.
Was that the one with the Cleveland Browns? They won every year and they came over?
Yeah, you know the reason they folded? Because they were too good.
Yeah, they dominated. They won every single year.
They won everyone. It only lasted for 4 years. They won every championship, and I think they lost 4 games in 4 years.
Crazy. The Mets never did it, but they came close in 06. That's the could-have-been World Series when Beltran struck out. The Yankees. Go ahead, Sean. How many times have the Yankees faced the Tigers in the postseason?
I want to say 3, but I could be wrong.
You're dead on. 3 times.
Okay.
And the Tigers won every single time.
Wow.
06 ALDS, the A-Rod betting 8th series. Kenny Rogers, up?
Then the Jeter series.
The Derek Jeter ALCS 2012, they got swept. And then the year before, they played him in the ALDS. We call that the Doug Fister I Barely Know Her series.
I call it Ivan Nova Implodes in Game 5 series.
Okay. See, we have different names for it. The New York Knicks have faced the Pistons 3 times, and it has been a long time. 84, first round, Knicks 1-5. 1990, second round, Bad Boys 1-5.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1992, the Knicks beat him in 5. That was a best-of-5 series. So they haven't faced since 1992.
So this will be the fourth one.
This will be the fourth one. Knicks have won 2 of 3. Islanders never faced them. The Rangers faced them 5 times. They're all a million years ago. 33, 37, 41, 48, and 1950. The Devils. You know, Sean, the Devil one is big.
The conference final, the cup final.
Cup finals in 95.
That's right, when they were in the West, right.
When they won their first cup. And then my team. I got a lot. I would argue my team, the New Jersey Nets, not the Brooklyn Nets, have the most fierce history with the Detroit team.
Oh, yeah.
Played them 3 times. 1985, I don't remember. They got swept. 2003, we swept their asses in the conference finals to go to an NBA finals. And then 2004 was a ridiculous classic. You had the crazy triple overtime, double overtime game in Game 5. They blew Game 6. They got blown out in Game 7. So New York teams have beaten Detroit teams 5 times in postseason history, and they've lost 11 times.
Wow.
So there you go. A little brief history for you. You guys appreciate that? Was that interesting or no?
I love it.
You like that?
I hate that the Pistons ended the Jason Kidd run, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, they sort of did. They ended the Kenyon Martin version of it, because remember when they came back with Vince Carter, they kind of had a second run, but they weren't that good. Let's go to Chris in Westport. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. While I was on hold, I had 2 things to say about what you've been talking about. Evan, fourth genre pizza, New Haven pizza, really good.
Okay.
You can't pass that one up.
Sure.
And also, talking about Aaron Judge versus Barry Bonds, I'll tell you what the difference was. I saw both, you know, for a long time.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge can be pitched to by a really good pitcher. You can set him up for that down-and-away slider. He'll bite. you could not pitch to Barry Bonds. You made a mistake. Yeah, not a mistake. You got anyone in the strike zone, he hit a missile.
Before you continue, my counter to that is you're right. I think Judge is definitely more pitchable. But yet, in the last 145 games he's played, he's put up video game numbers. Mm-hmm. And my attitude as a manager would be, I can pitch to him,
right.
But I'd rather not, because look at the damage he's inflicted over the last calendar year. I don't want to risk that.
Right.
And I get that, and I think that's a reflection on the Yankees lineup as much as anything. And why pitch to Judge? Go to the next guy.
Right.
As far as Soto, you know, I'm a Mets fan through and through. I was not really on board to even sign him because I'm not a fan of getting somebody tied up for that many years for that much money. I don't think he's going to age well, just my opinion. I think he's going to be a full-time DH within 3 or 4 years. He's already average speed, average arm, average range in the outfield. He's going to be a DH soon enough.
Right.
But that being said, he's on my team. I'm behind him now. I'm going to go all in. I'm not booing it. I boo a guy for one thing and one thing only in my sports life. When they don't hustle, or they show a lack of, or they look like they don't care.
Yeah.
They're going to get booed. I'm not booed. You think Juan Soto's not coming down on himself? You think he's not hard on himself now?
I think he's
not trying?
Chris, you're nailing it here, because the one thing that Juan Soto, I don't think I've ever seen, except for that one base running thing, but that was kind of whatever, is effort, lack of effort. That's what you get booed for. Now, sucking is something that you'll get a loud minority booing you, but effort gets everybody booing at you.
So you nailed it with loud minority. That's who does the booing at these moments we've talked about.
Right.
Whether it was Mike Piazza in 98 that annoyed me, or it was Yankee fans doing it to Roger Clemens or Mark Teixeira early on. It's very rarely the building. It's mostly a loud minority, and some of it is a little scientific, T. Think about this. If I asked you, Sean, and Lugie to cheer at the same time, like, yay, like this, clap,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I started booing loudly. In fact, we're all going to do it. I'm going to show you. It's a science experiment. You're going to hear my one boo. I'm only one guy. You're three guys.
We're just average cheering.
Average cheering, like, yay.
A little golf clap, right. So to speak.
Okay. Sure. On the count of three, I want you to all do your cheering. I'm going to do my booing, and the audience will hear how the boo seeps through. You ready?
Okay. Yep.
One, two, three.
Yay.
Yay.
For everyone who heard
you hear it,
like, that's a boo.
You're right.
Now, that's only, we're four people on one guy. That's 25% of us. So it could be 20% of the building, which is not a big number, and it will sound more vociferous than it actually is.
That's true.
So I think you're right when you say loud minority, and I think a part of why you're thinking that is you're remembering those moments you got booed, and you're like, it wasn't everybody. It was like 10,000 people.
Everybody couldn't have hated me.
Let's go to Kendrick in Suffern. Hey, Kendrick.
Gentlemen, real quick, something for Sean. One of the talking points recently, as you know, I listen to the show every day, is the start of the Cinco de Five-O. And so yesterday I got a thought based off of when you guys started it. You know, I think if the music sensation Pitbull was born and raised in Long Island, he would look a lot like Sean Marash. So maybe... Maybe Sean's new nickname could be Mr. 503.
Not bad. Not bad.
And so, and you can play a little, I Know You Want Me with the 1, 2, 3, 4, uno, dos, tres, and then Mr. 503 with his cinco. I do want to bring up something about Soto. I was going to talk about Rodgers, but I don't want to even
You don't want to go there. It's over. It's over, Kendrick. You're right. Don't go back there. Don't 100%. Jump into the cesspool. It's unnecessary. Aaron Glenn has decided to move on, and we all, as consumers, especially Jet fans, should move on. Period.
100%. So I do want to turn the attention to tonight with Soto and the conversation about booing him and everything like that. You know, this storyline of him talking poorly about anyone on the Mets is just wild to me. The idea of booing him is insanity this early in the season. And it reminds me a little bit about the Mikal Bridges comments he made about Thibodeau and the bench and how people turn that into Mikal calling out the coach. You know, I think what Mikal was doing was just saying, hey, we have a deep team. We can use our bench a little bit more. And he trusted his teammates. And that's what Soto was saying. Like, when you listen to what he said if you read what he said, he was basically saying, I trust the next guy up, so if I have to take a walk, I'm going to take a walk. But, yes, I recognize I don't have the best hitter in baseball behind me anymore. So, to me, I just think it is just a fabricated story here that is trying to, you know, get these Yankee fans in Mets uniform and jerseys tonight riled up to boo them. But for a Met fan that is appreciating the winning early in the season, I would just say enjoy the game, fellas, and let's go Mets.
Thank you, Kendrick. I expressed it when we opened the next day after it. His comments were innocuous. Mm-hmm. There was nothing negative about his comments. He wasn't knocking anybody. He was giving just a baseball answer to a baseball question.
Right.
And he was analyzing the way he's pitched to, not his opinion on Pete Alonso versus Aaron Judge. It was literally, this is the way they're approaching me this year versus last year.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I think there's some disingenuous involved. I think there are some that are like, hey, I'm going to make it a bigger deal. But then there are some who actually were bothered by it. I've talked to Met fans who are like, no, he was making excuses. And I would respectfully tell them, you're wrong.
Yeah, I mean,
you may think that, but that's not what was happening.
The problem is it sounds like an excuse. Again, I don't think he's making an excuse. I think he's just answering the question. But it sounds a little bit like an excuse. And so it could rub people the wrong way. But this is just who he is. He's going to answer the question if he gets asked it.
But Tiki, if I asked you a question, hey, do you think they're stacking the box against you?
Mm-hmm.
And you said, yeah, because you're going to be honest,
because it's
right?
Factually true.
It's factually true.
Yes.
I could come on the radio and say, look at Tiki Barber, he's making excuses.
No,
he's stacking
right.
the box.
No, you're right.
You said nothing wrong.
No, you're right.
You're analyzing. That's what Soto did.
I agree 100%. It just sounds like, it sounds like an excuse, but it's not.
So let me ask you this.
He's just being factual.
Now, you had a great ability to not give a crap, and I think Juan's the same way.
Mm-hmm.
If someone asked you, and you knew it, because you're very smart on what people are trying to do, hey, you think they're stacking the box against you, would you say, I'm not going to answer that because I know what you're trying to do? Or would you be like, listen, he asked a question, I'm going to answer it.
Yeah.
How'd you handle it?
I'd answer it, but I'd probably say something like, yeah, we're just going to get creative to find ways to get them out of the box.
Yeah, why'd you just rip the coach?
That's what it turned into.
Of course. And honestly, that's what happened with Soto.
I know. That's exactly what happened.
And I don't think Puma did anything wrong. He asked the question. The only people that did anything wrong, honestly, are, here's the difference. I respect people who have opinions, even if I disagree with them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know what you're doing, if you know what you're manipulating, then you're disingenuous.
Yes.
So I would say that the post back page was disingenuous. Now, that's what back pages do. I think we do it around here too with some of the things that are clicked out on digital. Like, you know, you're manipulating, but people click, people buy.
Yeah.
And headlines have been doing this for many, many years.
Right.
But if you genuinely were bothered by his comments, I would talk you off the ledge and say you're wrong. But if you know what you're doing, that's the only thing that bothers
you. Yeah, no, I think you're right about that. Thank you.
The Yankees are oddly in Tampa, but not the Trop. They're at George M. Steinbrenner Field to take on the Tampa Bay Rays. The Yankees had massive crowds this week. They had over 40,000 people for every game they played.
Wow.
So we're going to Citi tonight. What is your attendance prediction for Mets-Cardinals on a very nice Thursday night?
But not super warm. But it's also not freezing, as long as you dress appropriately.
Important to note, it's also spring break.
It is spring break. That's a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a good thing for the Yankees.
I mean, the Yankees just got 40,000 people. That's why I'm asking.
I'm going to say 31.
31's a good crowd, by the way. Even if it's not, like, I know you could say, oh, the Yankees did better. The Yankees are going to do better. The Yankees draw better than the Mets.
Right, they're almost sold out.
Yeah.
Suites, everything. We talk about all this stuff.
But over 30's a good crowd.
Yeah.
I'd say it's a good crowd. I think tomorrow needs to be higher than that, and obviously Saturday and Sunday. But I think a Thursday night 31-plus crowd would be nice. We'll have Sean Morris address a mounting issue between the Yes Network and some Yankee fans coming up in a few minutes. But let's get to some of your calls, including Lee in Deer Park. How are you, Lee?
What's up, Lee?
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing? I'm watching you guys on SNY right now.
Oh,
Evan, you know, I just wanted to really make a quick comment before I get to my Mets point. Evan, you know you're on television, right?
Uh-oh. What'd I do?
Yes.
No, just you. I dress better than that when I do chores around my house.
I was wondering, did I pick my nose? What was it? Oh.
No, I'm just, I mean, and the dichotomy of you sitting next to like the most well-groomed person I've ever seen in my life, and Tiki Barber.
I wore branding today because I'm going to a Mets game. WFAN.
That's why you wore a W because you go to a Mets game.
Yeah, it's blue.
I like WFAN. It actually.
It's not. It's not Mets, but it's blue.
All right.
Supporting the you know,
to each his own. Man. To each his own. What's up?
I just want to say, I'm not a big fan of booing. I'm not. I have done it. I've gone to Jets games where I've heckled the hell out of them. But
yeah.
One particular game of mine is the Who was it? That Matt Barkley that he came off the couch for the Bills with LeSean McCoy and just lit them up. Remember that game?
Yes, yeah.
I sat behind. I murdered them that day. So like I have been known to do that. But I do think, while I'm not a fan of booing, I think we give Lindor specifically way too much of a pass for this starting slow every year. Mm. Like the first 30 games don't count.
Yeah,
I think him hitting 1 for 18 with runners in scoring position and hitting like 230 at this point, like he gets paid way too much. He hits a leadoff. He has to perform better. And I hate the fact that I'm saying this because I am a huge fan of his, but we give him a pass for starting off slow every year, and he does this every year.
He's getting a pass because Francisco Lindor at some point, and it probably was mostly last year, but for some maybe it was before that, I hate to use kind of this cliche, but he earned his Met pinstripes.
Mm-hmm.
He earned it. And there are certain guys who just don't get booed.
Yeah.
And it takes like a cavalcade of craziness to get booed. So I use Aaron Judge as an example because Aaron Judge has obviously earned his pinstripes. It takes a lot for Judge to hear boos. And he heard it from Sean.
Right.
Sean can speak on it.
But yep. He heard him last year a little bit.
Yeah, he's heard him multiple times in his career. But I guess obviously most profound was a couple years ago after the 62 homers in the playoffs.
But think about when he hears him. He hears him at the most kind of pressurized time of frustrations. So for Lee, I get what you're saying. Hey, Lindor hasn't hit. He's had these bad March and Aprils basically every year of his Met career except for 22. How come he's getting a pass? I don't think he's getting a pass. I think Met fans are criticizing him, but I think he's gone and gotten more kind of
clutch hits and
he's
been important, or he's hit when it's been most important.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And I think he's earned almost that boot-proofness for a while. Doesn't mean it's forever. Aaron Judge proves it's not forever. But I don't think Francisco Lindor is going to hear boos at Citi Field in April. That time has passed. He used to.
Yeah, it's almost interesting because you almost expect it now. Now, first inning leading off, he's actually done pretty well.
Yeah.
Like his average on the season first inning leading off is not as bad as the rest of his season average down at 230. But Francisco Lindor also comes off as super accountable. And I think that matters as well. He's not making excuses. He's not saying anything. He's saying, I just have to be better, period.
Yeah, and he says that a lot. I mean, every time he slumps, he says that. And I think the other thing that's helping him is that, and this is such a horrible answer, but it's true,
mm-hmm.
his April, March is so much better than what it was last year that despite it still not being good, it's so much better than what we remember from last year that we're like, it's okay.
Right. Think how good he's going to be this season if he starts not with 170 or whatever the heck he hit in April last year.
There's going to come a moment, and I hope this happens, and I think it will happen because I have confidence in Juan Soto. I'm certainly not worried. I think it's asinine to be worried this early into his Met career where he's going to earn those Met pinstripes. And Juan Soto in 2031, where he will still not even be halfway through the contract, may have a terrible April, and we would never even broach the discussion of him being booed in April. It wouldn't be a thing. Kind of like we're not talking about Lindor.
Yeah.
That will happen, but it doesn't happen right away. It's just the nature of being a highly paid, pressurized athlete in New York. You almost have to have that moment, and it's kind of corny. Yankee fans have fun with it. Met fans do, too. What's the moment where Mark Teixeira became a Yankee? What's the moment where Jason Giambi became a Yankee? And we all have our answer. Like, for me, I'll be an IBO with Giambi. Mm-hmm. It was that home run against the Twins in extra innings.
That nobody saw.
But that he became a Yankee. From then on, it was like, he's back. It's raining, Giambi. Some guys have their moments right away. Hideki Matsui. Mm-hmm. Opening day.
That's right. Grand Slam.
Became a Yankee. So Juan Soto, and it may be against the Yankees. That may be the full irony. It may be a Yankee Stadium. It may be a 4-for-4 in which he hits two home runs at Yankee Stadium where Loogie and I and all the Met fans are like, oh, man, we always love Soto, but he's a Met today.
Oh, no, we love Soto.
It's true.
It is.
And you know what? If I had to make a long-term prediction, I think that's what it's going to be. Not that he's going to struggle until then, but he's going to be, okay, fine, whatever. He will become a Met at Yankee Stadium on a Friday night where I'm going to help you out, where Tiki Barber says, stand up, turn your back, don't boo, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, he's going to be so disturbed by the apathy, he's going to go 0-for-4 again.
The opposite. He's going to get three hits. The Mets are going to win that night, and Met fans will say, Juan Soto became a Met tonight.
Juan Soto.
That's my prediction.
Okay.
Who was that, by the way? Can you play that one more time?
Of course. Yeah, here we go. No.
Juan Soto.
What the hell was that?
Juan Soto.
We'll figure it out at some point. Let's go to Neil in Smithtown. How are you, Neil?
Evan, how are you guys?
What's up? Good, man. What's up?
Well, before I get to my clarification on the finer points of pizza, I wanted to see if I could just say something about the whole booing that Yankee fans are plotting to do tonight.
Yes. Allegedly.
Because I would think a real Yankee fan wouldn't be up to something like that. First of all, for them to put on a Mets shirt,
right,
let alone buy one.
Agreed.
And then buy a Mets ticket and then waste their time and energy just to do that. Mm. It doesn't sound like a real Yankee fan. I mean, it just doesn't. I'm a Mets fan. Yeah. I don't dislike the Yankees, but that just doesn't sound like a real Yankee fan. It almost sounds like George Soros might be getting people.
I like that.
I never said they're real Yankee fans or fake Yankee fans, but I do think there are people out there who have enough. Like John in Maspeth, who called up the radio station earlier today. He's called up the station a lot. All right, he's a kind of a regular. He started the Fire Brian Cashman thing. He's one. He's like a cartoon character. I'm thinking of the words to describe him. But John in Maspeth is like one of those like just obnoxious Yankee fans. Mm-hmm. And he knows that. I don't think he'd be offended by that. And even if he is, who cares? All right. John from Maspeth reeks of a guy who would do exactly what I just described. So obsessed with Juan Soto.
So he calls up to say, we would never do that.
But he would do that.
Yeah.
He would go to Citi Field,
cover,
dressed as a Met fan, to simply boo Juan Soto and then call up the station in the overnight and laugh at lame Met fans booing Juan Soto. It's actually brilliant. And a part of me is jealous.
That's so coordinated to do that. I mean, that's a lot of people you got to get to do it. See, to make it sound at least close to boos.
You know what I should have done? Oh, my God. I blew it because I already said it on the air. I should have gotten Sean, Mike Bisseglia, a dear friend of mine, and maybe some hired actors to go to Madison Square Garden during the regular season and boo Mikal Bridges.
Missed opportunity.
And by the way, that would have been hilarious. And it's a great, like, Tommy, would I have put a Knicks shirt on to do it? I'd consider it. I would have, because it would have been so covert and hilarious.
Yeah, you got to be committed if you're going to do it.
You got to do it.
But it's going to take, I don't know, 2,000?
Yeah, it takes a lot of people. We don't have the manpower.
Yeah, you don't have the manpower.
We don't have the manpower. Yankee fans have the manpower. Unfortunately, we don't have the manpower.
The hapless Nets.
So, Sean, I want you to address a very interesting issue that's occurring right now. And, Tiki, you're going to love this.
Okay.
Two guys I respect, by the way, so I don't want to pick any sides here. John Boy, who's done a fine job. John Boy Media, the original John Boy, Jimmy O'Brien. And Troy Benjamin. I feel like I know Troy Benjamin. He works for the Yes Network. Also does a fantastic job. I like them both. Okay, they got into a little kerfuffle here.
Over
a segment that the Yes Network does during the Yankee broadcast called Guess the Yankee. Name that Yankee. I have to tell you, it's one of my favorite in-game segments in sports media history.
Okay, so how could this become, an adversarial point for two people?
Great question. So the rules of the game, by the way, if you haven't seen it, is they will put the logo up of a team, the guy that we're trying to figure out played for in the years, and they'll put up their career stats, right? So a lot of them are newer guys. Some of them are older guys. So John Boy put a video out and said, hey, I have a solution to the problem. Now, I didn't even know there was a problem. And John Boy expressed that a lot of younger Yankee fans don't like the fact that a lot of the questions involve older Yankees from prior to their fandom. Troy, who I think does the segment, and he should be damn proud because I mean it. I think it's one of the most brilliant in-game segments of all time. And if Troy doesn't mind, SNY, you should steal it because I think it's great. And we'd have so much fun with it as Met fans. So I think it's utterly brilliant. We love guessing games. Right. We love trivia contests. Freaking great. Troy writes, everyone wants to be a producer. Excuse the Yankees for having history. I wasn't born in 1935, but I'm fully versed on Tommy Heinrich, Red Ruffing, and Lefty Gomez. Get your game up. The Yankees didn't begin with Chase Headley.
Great line. Mm.
So many Yankee fans have reached out to me to say, Sean, as a youngish Yankee fan, who I've heard him say openly, loves Name That Yankee.
Love Name That Yankee.
Loves it. And by the way, I completely agree with you. Are you team John Boy? Give me some more younger stuff. Or you team Troy? Hey, step up your game.
I couldn't be more team Troy in this spot. Mm-hmm. From this standpoint, there's nothing wrong with the game, okay? Mm-hmm. There are Yankee fans of all ages. If they're older and they can guess it, great. If they're younger and they can't guess it, guess what? That's how you learn about history.
Right, you're learning.
No different than Ray Flaherty's number getting unretired and us learning about him when Malik Nabers had it. It's a perfect way to learn Yankee history. And last but not least, I'm going to call a little hypocrisy. If there are young Yankee fans and John Boy is getting this instinct that are unhappy with it, what do young Yankee fans do more than anything else? They love throwing 27 championships in everybody's face. So you have no problem doing that, but you hate the players that may have been a part of some of those before you were born because you can't guess it on a cute little game. Can't have it both ways. I love it. There's nights I can get it. There are nights I can't, but I love the nights I can't because I learn a little something. That's it.
There you go.
All right. You're right about that.
Yeah, I think
of
you're
course
right.
You agree about it. I mean, history is some of the best parts of sports.
Absolutely.
I just told you. I listened to a podcast about the history of the NFL.
Crazy.
How it started.
It's so you're so right. You said, it's not football. He's kind of right. It really isn't football.
No,
like I'm fascinated by the early history of the NFL.
Right.
And you're like, this ain't football.
The early history of football is really interesting going back because it was a college sport after the Civil War.
Right.
And then people would die, though.
See, I didn't even go back that far. You went back to that part of football?
Yeah, you go back that far. Jeez. Kids were dying.
Right.
And then adults, obviously, as well, because they went back to school after war. And the reason it became such an issue is that people looked at the NFL or the professional football at that time as antithetical to what football actually was, which was a game for college.
Right.
It was a college game. Don't steal it and go to the pros. And so that's why to this day, you still have to go to school for 3 years before you can come into the NFL. Because they don't want to steal. Like Brock Bowers. He could have gone 1 year at Georgia and gone into the NFL. But it would have been stealing the talent from a college program and bring him into the National Football League. It's just like Theodore Roosevelt got involved because his son got really injured. And so they forced them to change the rules, and that's when the modern game started to develop in 1905, I think it was.
You went back much further than
I. It's just the history of football is really interesting.
Yeah, like when I read the history of football, I start in like the 20s, like when they actually tried to start the National Football League and did, and the evolution of the teams and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's even further back,
awesome. That was the competition. It was the NFL and the AAFC, and the success of the AFC, which was really just the Browns, was what prompted any given Sunday. Mm. I mean, that's a it's a movie that we know about, but it's a core tenet of the NFL, competitiveness.
Right.
Because if you put a the AAFC and the Browns win every championship and only lose four games in 4 years, do you really care?
Now, do you count those championships?
I mean, you kind of have to.
You kind of they kind of have to.
Kind of have to.
Yeah, that's the way I look at these
leagues.
But
it's not the modern NFL.
It's not the modern NFL, but if you're in a different league, it counts as a championship. So those ABA titles do count, Tommy. Shut your mouth. That's where I was going with that one. Those batters are flying high. Sure. So the most recent basketball championship in the New York area is actually the Nets. They've won the two most recent championships of 1976 and 1974 because they were in the ABA, which counts as a professional league. So that makes me feel good.
Nice.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.